there is more of an emphasis on supporting huge programs that require lots of contracts and a huge influx of money, and your career is measured in how successfully you contribute to the money flow as a result of the careerism.
And describe what careerism is. What are we talking about when we talk about careerism?
Well, careerism probably is best described by the old phrase, going along to get along. In other words, when an individual gets into a bureaucracy, they just go along with the bureaucracy itself, you know, all the different layers and playing it safe, never making a decision that will call attention to yourself, always abiding strictly to policy and the rules and regulations, even though some of them may be counterproductive and make no sense at all. In other words, it's a failure of to do the right thing and losing sight of the fact that in the Pentagon you're there to serve your country, not yourself.
And one of the challenges is you can get almost so inside that you don't really it becomes sort of an us versus them kind of situation.
In many respects, it does. Unfortunately, if you become part of the bureaucracy and you adopt its mediocrity, where you know incompetence is rewarded, no one is held accountable and responsible, you kind of internalize all that, and next thing you know, you're going there, and the big thing is to get rank and move up the ladder in terms of promotion without really doing anything. It's all more about being somebody instead of doing something.
One of the things you write about is what you call the silent careerism. What are we talking about when we talk about that, the silence of careerism?
That's when people don't speak up. That's when they don't tell the boss that the king doesn't have any clothes, or even better, is standing there in a bikini and not pointing out there are unintended consequences or great costs with doing something that just really aren't in the good interest of the nation.
And so what are the implications of this careerism? Why is this? When I read your piece, I could tell that it was bad. But what are the implications of that? What makes it bad?
Well, one of the big things about it is no one is held accountable or responsible. You know, it's an organization where careerism, flourishes. In other words, there's so many layers. There's every task is divided up into 100 other little small tasks, which are overseen by 100 other little departments. And there's just this dilution of individuals being accountable and responsible. We have all these generals today. For example, during World War II, when the Marine Corps was over 400,000 people, it had 24 generals. Today, it's roughly 200,000 people and has roughly, somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 or so generals on active duty. So you can see what has happened is that the larger you create these big corporate headquarters at the top, the more generals you need, but at the same time, the work is divided up in such a way that there's never any real accountability or responsibility. And as a result of that, the Pentagon doesn't know where its money is or where it's going. It's got way too much money, and it has no real interest in accounting for it.
We're talking to retired Marine Colonel G.I. Wilson. He is one of the authors of the book, The Pentagon Labyrinth, and he writes specifically about careerism. How do you deal with this? I mean, Pentagon, very large, very complex organization, lots of parts to it. How do you deal with that and make it work?
Well, I think what has happened is the Pentagon has basically mimicked the behavior that's been so prevalent in Congress. I know I sound very harsh and shrill when I talk about the Pentagon, and basically its generals and its civilians, which I refer to as suits, are basically mimicking all the bad habits that go on in Congress. one of the ways that possibly we could turn things around in the Pentagon is for the taxpayer to demand that there be accounting of assets and resources of the Pentagon and tracking, the money, keeping track of the money, particularly with the debt situation that we have in the nation today. I believe that, Congress is real complicit in that. They really don't care where all the money goes or where it is, just as long as they get to shovel it and bring a lot of that money back to their districts. Again, it gets more about self than serving.
Have we seen a paradigm shift in that? I mean, that was always, some of the frustration by some folks is that it felt a little bit like you were pushing the big boulder up the hill and nothing could change because guess what? It was in the lawmaker's district to bring home the money, bring home the bacon, so to speak. But it seems, and we've seen in a couple instances over the past couple years where folks who there was a mindset change on behalf of the voters where they said, hold on, we have to deal with this deficit.
I think you're absolutely right, and I hate that word absolutely, but you nailed it right there. There is hope because of this huge debt problem that we have. In fact, I think that the parts of the Pentagon are in meltdown, and in the long term, that offers hope, whereby that, they're going to have to start over again or go back and relook at how they do things. And it's only part of the problem. We want to cut defense, but in reality, it's even bigger than that. We're going to have to look at all the entitlement programs also. When you look at the huge debt we have and the cuts in the Pentagon would contribute to lowering that debt. It's rather minuscule compared to these huge entitlement programs that Congress has failed to tackle, and that's because of the way they behave and how careerism in a very unique way has affected Congress itself. They're going to have to look at Social Security and Medicare.
Well, and one of the issues we've seen Secretary Gates talk about the strains that the military health system has put on DOD and certainly on VA. These are expensive programs.
They definitely are. And of course, the moment as soon as they can, DOD will get a soldier or sailor or Marine that's wounded. As soon as they can, they'll medically discharge them and get them off the rolls onto the VA rolls. And that's because healthcare costs are so exorbitant, and it's just shifting the cost from the Department of Defense to the VA. You're absolutely right, and healthcare is the healthcare in general is a big contributor to the things that we're seeing going on in D.C. with the budget and trying to contain costs and so on and so forth. You're absolutely right.
That's twice you've used absolutely with me, and I'm going to have you back many times if you keep doing that.
Well, I'll try not to use that word anyway, but the whole point is, and I think that you really add a great perspective and balance to this whole thing, is that it may sound harsh when it comes to DOD. That's a good place to start, but things like healthcare and entitlement programs are also things that we need to tackle.
And in some ways, are you? This seems to me to be, in my time of covering this, a unique period where just everything is on the table, at least for discussion. I'm not sure we're quite at a point where things will happen, but at least everything's on the table for as part of the discussion.
Forgive me, but you're absolutely right, and that is such a great sign that everything is on the table. While there's a lot of doom and gloom with the debt, there is hope with the meltdown and I hate to use that term right now with what's going on in Japan.
Right.
But with the severe economic situation that we find ourselves in, that truly is hopeful that everything literally is on the table.